This morning we are dealing with the amendments proposed to the bill. Amendments that we are making in the bill are related to submissions that have been made. But I just want to clear one thing up front. I've monitored the media, and I would want to give more information so that we can have a balanced reporting. What I'm going to be making will also serve as some form of education so that we are all at the same level in terms of understanding how Parliament works. We are required, when we are processing a bill, to give a notice. After the department briefs the committee, we then advertise for public consultation and hearing. And in terms of the rules of Parliament, we have to give 10 days for the public to respond in a written form, and also indicate whether they would want to come and make a verbal presentation. It is the choice of the public. We don't decide who has to come and make a verbal presentation. They choose on their own to come and make a presentation. Others decide that, you know, the written submission is enough. We are also required to advertise in papers of not less than 3. And it is also stipulated that we should be sensitive to cover the weekend newspapers. And we should not advertise in less than 3 newspapers that are distributed nationwide. In the case of this bill, we advertise in 7 newspapers. It is reported in the staff that Mr. Gazi said he gave the advertise on the November. That is not true. He didn't advertise on the 2nd, 5th, and 6th of November, as it is reported in the Star newspaper. We advertise as follows. On the Star newspaper, we advertise on the 26th of October. On Cape Times, 26th October. On New Age, 26th October. And all these were on the main body of the newspaper. So the Star newspaper, we paid 15,724 rand. The Cape Times, we paid 7,938. The New Age, we paid 22,000. Thus, these were all in the main body. On Isolese, it was the 26th main body. It was, we paid 7,866. On weekend newspapers, we advertised on the 28th, On Rakov's main body, we paid 29,000. On Sunday time, on the 28th, main body, we paid 45,000. On Mail and Guardian, on the 26th, which is an Italian newspaper, we paid 21,000. And in total, we paid 171,000 to the media to advertise this piece. And even if Mr. Vavi was making wrong allegations, at least the staff had a correct record. They should have captured that. Moreover, I corrected that information that was coming from Mr. Vavi last night, and my correction was not reported by the Sunday paper. And my appeal is that we report, we give a balanced reporting. We gave 11 days instead of 10 days for the public to make submissions. We received 19 submissions. Out of the 19 submissions that were written, only 3 organizations indicated that they would like to make a verbal presentation. And we have accommodated all 3. After the lapse of 10 days, we then engage with the process of planning. And I think it will also serve to educate those who don't understand processes of parliament. In parliament, there's what we call programming and planning. You don't, as a chairperson, decide on when you will be debating a bill, when you have finalized public hearing. You decide before because you understand you will look at the submission and then look at the time to determine whether it is possible for you, for the committee, to process all the submissions. And the time that is given to process this is sufficient. What if there were no new amendments that required us to give a notice in Parliament, the proposal of SALGA, we would have completed this bill by yesterday. We are only sitting today because we want to accommodate the proposal of SALGA and the legal process of putting that proposal from SALGA requires us to go to Parliament and give ask for the suspension of Rule 249. That is the only thing, and we are doing that because we are accommodating a proposal that was made, an amendment that was proposed during the public hearing process. So I would want us to report in a way that is not going to cause confusion to the public, but assist the public to understand processes of Parliament, and also not to mix issues and make the public to be more confused and respond emotionally as if we are not doing our work as expected to in terms of the rules of Parliament. I would urge the media to observe that there are rules in Parliament and those rules have to be followed. I don't know what public consultation we would have rushed because we followed all the processes given by Parliament in terms of rules of Parliament, not in not in terms of what COSATU wants, in terms of rules of parliament. Can we then come to the amendment proposed?
We have
allocated enough time for public consultation, because that is what we see in the newspapers today, creating an impression that we did not give sufficient time for people to make their submissions. And my argument is we have given sufficient time. That is one issue. The second issue is, have we given ourselves now, as the Portfolio Commission, enough time to deliberate on the submission made? And what I'm hearing you saying is that we have not given ourselves enough time to deliberate on the submission. That is the view of the DA. The view of the ANC is that we have given enough time to deliberate on the submission made. We have given enough time. We have the legal advisors here with us to clarify all the grey areas that have been outstanding. Grey areas that we agreed last night to give them time to go and draft the amendment that we have accepted as this committee. And we don't need 3 days to do that. We don't need 5 hours to do that, because we had agreed on the object of the amendment that we wanted to effect as proposed. We had agreed on that. And when we adjourned last night, all that was left was for them to draft that in a manner that captures the spirit of what we were agreeing on. Number two, we adjourned to chat on how the programming would then allow us to effect the changes that we wanted to effect. That is what we were left with. That's all. And then the third issue is the further explanation of what you are still concerned with, which is what happens when you are deliberating as a committee, and we are spending, we are giving time for that to happen. And that is the only issue that is left, what you were raising in relation to advertising the prices, the fee. And also, I don't think that we need 4 days to do that. I don't also think that we need 4 hours to do that, because you have made your point, and all that we are expected to do is to then deliberate on that proposal that you are making, the concern that you are raising. And I don't think that we can take 5 hours to debate that. So to me, there is no issue of time. There is no issue of time, unless if we are clubbing the consultation that has to happen outside there, which Vadi is talking about. We are not going to be going out to address Rani. And also, we explained yesterday that there is still another process of the NCOP, how they will decide to take that process, which also can still have an opportunity for public participation. So I don't understand what this whole vibe is about of not giving enough consultation, raised by people who don't understand the processes of Parliament. And I am appealing to those who understand the process of Parliament to report correctly. Yeah.
Thank you, Chairperson. I won't comment on Mr. Varghese. As you know, he doesn't answer to the opposition at all in Parliament, and I can't comment on his statements, which are not my own. Can I then just... I agree with understand it's been given before. And we also activate the rule which says, unless there's another vehicle, and I'm waiting still for information, so maybe it's a change overnight, but there is another rule which says we cannot change the principal acts unless we get the permission of the National Assembly, which we don't have right now. We might get it this afternoon if there's a motion in, or it might be that there's a change to that, and I don't know, we will deliberate, I assume, today. But there's only enough time. If we break those two rules and we do it to incorporate Helga's proposal and so on, which I'm sure we'll deliberate now. But may I request that we get an answer to two questions. Both of them I asked yesterday, and both of them we're still in the process of discussing. And I really would like to ask for two answers. The first answer is what you've mentioned, the pricing on the billboard for people who drive from out of town. And the second one is whether this committee will request, and I know the key word has to be request, so I'm putting it correctly, request the NCOP to consult at least the provinces which have metro cities, because you were not going to get a e-toll in Limpopo. They're not, the cities aren't big enough. But at least the cities with the metro city, the provinces with metro cities, where there will be possible future e-tolls put in place, and that we at least ask the NCOP to do proper consultation with those provinces that are possibly going to be affected by other e-tolls in the future. Those two issues are my requests. It's just a request, I'm not in charge, but that's the DA's request, that we answer those two questions clearly in this meeting.
Another question?
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is very brief. Based on last night's meeting by the committee, there were certain positions that were taken in terms of consultation and coming back, and so that the process can be expedited. And I appreciate the input by the chairperson to explain, clarify, and demystify some of the comments that were made. But can I ask the meeting to start where we left it last night in terms of the report back today, so that we go forward and all others can follow? Because still the men and which we cut, we might not achieve the objective. I'm not sure whether the mandate that we given last night in the closing remarks, whether that mandate was executed or not, so that we are clear. Then we can take it from there. I just want to appeal to that. Thank you.
Okay, that is the purpose of the meeting, to what we are doing today is to look at two things. Whether we are allowed to effect the proposed amendment in terms of rules of parliament, what mechanisms are in place to allow us to effect the proposed amendment, and I will then give that opportunity to the parliamentary legal advisor as well as to the state law advisor.
Thank you. My name is Kedai Williams. I'm from the Office of the Chief Executive Director, and I'm here with my colleague, Melissa Kolo, also from our office chief. My colleague was here yesterday, attending the deliberation ceremony, and late last night we met and we discussed the proposed provisions proposed by the committee, not the PI proposed by the committee, for the discussion, and based on that we drafted a draft proposal for the committee to consider. That's the bill that the members of parliament signed before you was proposed ANIS. We after that, subsequent to that, we had discussions with Panel this morning as well as department officials and the parliamentary advisor who gave certain inputs on the document, because the document was prepared at my house between 8 and 12 o'clock last night. So we met with them this morning now, and they gave certain inputs which we incorporated in another draft which we have here. But it doesn't change that piece of the draft before the committee, it's just improvement on that draft, taking into account the discussion from yesterday's meeting. I have an electronic copy. I don't know if the selector only projected to. I'll speak to the basic drafting and the department will speak to the policy issues relating to this. Our job is not to get mixed up with all the policy, but just to look at the legal issues and the drafting. Yeah. I don't know if I should proceed now, or do I want to wait for the projector? Thank you. in line C to omit by the addition in subsection 3 for paragraph B. That's a change. So we insert now on page 3 in line 4, before the word of would be to insert A by the addition in subsection 3 for paragraph B. So essentially what that is doing is just bringing the wording by the addition down to the next line. It's just a matter of formality. It doesn't change anything. The wording remains the same. We're inserting a new one on page 3 after line 7 to insert. By the addition in subsection 4 of the following paragraph after paragraph B. This was the insertion of the paragraph B, which wasn't in the bill, in the original bill. It provides paragraph B A. The agency, in cooperation with the municipalities contemplated in subsection 4, B, subparagraph 2, and the province in which the proposed toll road is situated, comma, has performed a socio-economic and traffic impact assessment pertaining to the proposed toll road, which must be submitted to the minister and made available to the province and every municipality contemplated in subsection 4B. Should I go through the whole document, or should I forward back to everything with the committee to look at that?
No, I think you can go through everything, and then the committee can then ask questions.
Thanks, Chief. If I can maybe just add, as you see the red section there, the reason why we took up municipality in this area of jurisdiction, the proposed toll road that's 12 o'clock midnight in the state is situated. We shortened that because in subsection 4B2, they refer to those municipalities, so we just made reference across reference rather than to repeat the whole section. Okay. B, by the substitution in subsection 4, for paragraph C of the following paragraph. The agency, in applying for the minister's approval for the declaration, has forwarded its proposals in that regard to the minister, together with a report on comments and representations that have been received, if any. In that report, the agency must indicate the outcome of the assessment contemplated in paragraph BA, the extent to which any of the matters raised in those comments and representations have been made, and the steps proposed to mitigate against impact or likely impact on alternative roads with regard to maintenance and traffic management that may result from the declaration contemplated in subsection 1. That was the amendment taking into account Fowler's proposal. Clause 4, on page 3 in 941, after following to omit subsection and to substitute subsection. On page 3 in 944, to omit and at the end there. And then on page 3, after line 44, to insert. Before the minister makes any regulations contemplated in subsection 1, before the minister makes any regulation contemplated in subsection 1, the minister must submit a draft of the proposed regulation to Parliament for comment. Thanks, Chair. That's the end of the bill.
Thank you very much. I will now open for members to comment on this. I honorable speaker.
Thank you, Chair President. Without saying much, because I think, you know, for me, because I'm not a legal person, but I'm just looking at the draft of the amendment and for the bill. I think it has captured the essence of what we wanted to have to be inserted in the bill. So against that, I don't have much, because those concerns that we raised around the presentation or input by SALGA has been captured, especially when the issue of the municipality has been raised. So I'm saying that for me, the essence and the substance of this, because it does not change also from what you want to see happen in terms of the application of the DM. Thank you, Chair.
Chairperson, I have no objection to those grammatical amendments. I think the essence of the content stays the same, so I'm quite happy with the content. I just ask that we get copies. We have to take it to our caucuses tomorrow, and I've got to ask them to support this, so if we can get paper copies, because if I read it like that, they all look at me funny. If we can get by the end of today paper copies for everybody.
Thank you for that. I think also that it is important for us to explain why we feel that the proposal from SALGA is important. We already have potholes in municipalities, and if then the declaration of an urban toll doesn't take into account the increased traffic that would have a negative impact on the road of that municipality, and also the financial burden that will be put on the municipality to maintain those roads and also to deploy the traffic police. If that is not done up front, it would then create a problem of not having an alternative route that can be used. And an alternative route that also is conducive to the public to use. So we are taking the submission of SALGA with the interest not only of the municipalities but also of the road user to have an alternative route, but an alternative route that is conducive for the public to use. So it is a very, very important amendment for us, because it takes into consideration the burden and the requirement that would be put on the municipality to deploy the resources, but on the other side, it provides the road user with an alternative route, so no one is forced to go through a toll road by not having an adequate alternative route. It is an important amendment, and I think it is a positive amendment that SALGA has put in place that takes also away the fears that has been raised by the public in as far as the negative impact of tolling of roads, where if you toll a road, you have to provide an alternative route. That proposal deals with that. And I would like to thank all members for supporting this proposal. Thank you. Now we go to the Parliamentary Law Advisor to take us through the mechanism for us to put this amendment through Parliament, so that we can then also go to our parties to to propose for their support, because it is important that we insert this amendment. And the only way we would be able to do that is if we are then able to suspend certain rules of parliament. Thank you. Thank you. That is the legal advice that we have received from Parliament. I will now open for members to comment on that. Honourable
Chairperson, I did hear the first one very clear in terms of the proposal of one. Making a notice without motion without notice, and in that we have to cross our fingers that there is no objection, and if that goes through, then no problem. Do get that one. It needs a lot of us to come back, parties. But on the second one, I just want to get your second option that she places the legal question. I want to clarify my mind on the second one.
Apologies. The second one is what we discussed yesterday. That Rule 249 and Subsidy 3 is suspended. Because remember Rule 249 says that the committee has to request permission from the House before making an inquiry into amending the rule. Amending the bill. So the second option is then to proceed with that request to ask for that rule to be suspended. And then as the NSABC, they don't see any reason why we can't do both. In other words, we'll have a two-pronged approach. Should the one fail, then we have the other one to fall back on.
In that instance, Chairperson, when would that rule apply? Will it start to count from yesterday as you said, or will it start from today? I think you are referring to the 3-day rule in terms of the Rule 249. The 3 days. When does it start to be counted? Oh, okay. So, I'm saying, Chairperson, for me, it would be better the latter than the first one.
Thanks, Jefferson. I understand that it falls under two different rules, but it sounds like exactly the same thing. I mean, both of them have to be on the floor this afternoon. Both of procedural difference of the technicality of when this option will be asked, but essentially both motions are the same thing. I mean, the DA is a political party, but we don't play games with technicalities like that. That's ridiculous. We either vote yes or no, whichever way. I mean, my party says they're in favour of it, they're not going to fight about which technicality, and if we're against it, we're also not going to fight the technicalities. I mean, we will vote on the principle, not on that thing. And not, I mean, I've got a caucus that's differing. My personal view is that all these amendments I think are the right thing to do, and I'm not worried about the amendments. Our concern is with the funding of the ETOL. That's not these amendments here that are today on the table. I can't comment on my caucus's view on the whole bill because that's got to do with the funding. But on these amendments here, I don't really mind which way we go. And I think my caucus will feel the same. Whether they vote yes or vote no, they're going to do it on whichever one we take. And if they vote legal, they vote legal. I don't have a strong feeling about it. You can go whichever way. Doesn't really pay to us. We're more concerned about principles, not about which method. It's an academic question.
Thanks. When we adjourned last night, we were talking of Rule 249. I hear Honorable only saying that there are two rules. Two options for the same rule. That is the clarity that I wanted to get. Two options for the same rule.
Yes.
My view is that what we have been advised to do is to effect both. The reason for that is that there are parties who are not here, who sit in this committee, who are not appraised of the proceedings. And if we then apply the two-pronged approach, we stand a better chance of even educating those parties who are not part of the proceedings. Thank you. Then can we then proceed on the same matter? On the same matter of the proposal made by Honorable Oni for us as NA to propose to NCOP during their processing of this list to also take into account this as well as the consultation process. To ensure that affected parties are given an opportunity to public hearing so that we give enough time for the public to comment on this matter. That was the proposal made by Honorable Ali to say, in addition to our own process, can we also talk to the Select Committee on Transport in the NCOP to consider public hearing when they are processing the bill on their side? Can you comment on that?
Because I'm only asking for the provinces where there are metro cities, because there are some provinces which it's not going to. We're not going to see an ETOL in the Kruger National Park, I'm sure. So again, certain provinces, it doesn't really affect us. The big ones, really.
That is the proposal. Can we get a comment from other members? Honourable
Chairperson, I don't have a fundamental problem with that proposal. Bearing in mind that the sections and sizes and surely the prescripts of Section 25 were set out here, because also that would be a request, because not imposed on the NCOP. Otherwise, I don't have a fundamental problem on that. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other comments? I also think that it is a fair proposal. It also tries to make the two houses without imposing on them, but it makes the two committees to be on the same level in terms of ensuring that we take the interest of the public into consideration. I think it's a fair proposal, and it is after the proposal of the DA is accepted by the ANC in good spirit. Are there any other issues? There were then questions that Honourable always wanted you to get comments on, particularly from the department in relation to advertising. And I think I also would want to add my own on that, but I will make my own presentation. Can you respond to Mr. Olive's question?
Before the chair, I just want to check whether we have disposed of the building in terms so that the process might go and not delay, and then we can always engage with the department in terms of the further questions about
that question relates to the building. It relates to the prices being advertised, so we have not disposed of. Honourable, can you repeat your question?
Sure, Chairperson, thank you. And thank you for accepting my other proposal. The question really is, let's use Gauteng because it's the one that's initially affected. People who use the road every day will be aware more or less of how much they're paying after some time because they will get used to the system. But people will drive into Gauteng on holiday or on once a year or twice a year business trip, and they won't know that if they are not registered with SANRAL, don't have an e-tag, haven't made their details known, that they will not pay the price that's listed on the board. They will pay a higher price per kilometre or per boom or whatever, however it gets calculated in the end. The answer that I got yesterday was partial because it said that they have 30 days in which to settle it and then they will pay the cheaper price. But even that is not known by people. You see, it's the problem of marketing the costs. When you stop at a toll road, you're not allowed to go through until you go down and pick what size vehicle you have and you pay that amount of money. So there's no surprise later because you have to pay at the boom gate and then you know how much you're paying, and if you don't pay, you can't go through. You must get off the road and go home. You can't go through. This is a different system, and we don't have one like this in South Africa anywhere now. In this system, you drive and you drive and you drive and you go after one boom and another boom and another boom and another. Nobody stops you, nobody explains to you what's involved, you don't swipe your credit card, you don't hand over the cash, you just keep driving. And then you go back to Mpumalanga and you get a letter in the post saying that you must pay whatever it is. Our concern is that on the billboard it just says for a car you pay 5 rand for this boom. But that's the e-toll rate if you have the tag in your car. If you come from Mpumalanga, you haven't got the e-tag, you didn't read the government gazette, because let's really be honest, I mean, people don't go and read the government gazette. The Automobile Association will read the government gazette and advertise the price in the Star, maybe because they're trying to help the public. I'm sure we will advertise it in the Star, or Sandra will. But people forget, and 6 months later you arrive from Mpumalanga, and then you get a surprise when you get that invoice. And I can just see people feeling cheated. Not that they don't want to pay, but that they suddenly have the surprise of they've got to pay too much money. Part of the answer given was, well, if they pay quickly in 30 days, they can still get the cheaper rate. I would still like to see at least two columns on that billboard as a proposal. This is just a proposal. I mean, I'm not a traffic engineer, so I'm just making a political proposal. But you have two columns. The one column is the cheap e-toll rate, and the other column is the more expensive rate if you don't have an e-tag, because then the public knows. If we can't do that, Maybe you can do two billboards, because I know you can't read lots of numbers quickly, you know, but as a political party, we have successive posters at the election. You read the first one, you read the second one, you read the third one, and I'm sure you can put two billboards, you know, one maybe a kilometer away that says e-tag prices, and another one closer, 500 meters away, that says if you don't have an e-tag, you will pay double or what, I don't know what it is. You guys know the rates, and I know it's complicated, but my job is to ask those difficult questions and say, well, how is that person from Mpumalanga going to find out that they'll have to pay more? Or even a granny from Soweto who just got her first car now at a very old age, and she hasn't read the government gazette, and she wants to drive, and now she gets also that surprise. I mean, various scenarios, but you know, I think you understand the question.
Before you respond, I have indicated that I also want to speak on that. What we are actually saying here is that it's a new system. It is not known by a lay person on the ground. And for me, you don't even need to know when you arrive at the toll gate. Then you go past. You need to know even before you leave home to prepare your mind. And I think that it is also part of information dissemination and making the public aware. And there are various ways of doing that, besides, in addition to the billboard. There could be an advert on television at a particular time to actually remind people. There could also be an advert on cell phones. A cell phone has become a very useful gadget for information dissemination, because we always have it in our hands. You can also have an advert on radio. In the same way that Sunrun has advertised the purchase of the turf, so that we give prominence to, we give equal prominence to the fee that are charged. For me, it's transparency. You are making a person know how much will I pay if I don't have the e-tag. So that I make an informed choice that I choose to pay this amount as opposed to buying the test. I must make an informed decision. I must not be told that buy an e-tag, failing which. It must come naturally for me that I have weighed my self, and I have looked at the advantages of having an e-tag and disadvantages of that, informed also by the number of times that I travel to that area and the cost of the e-tag. So it is very, very important for the public to make informed decisions. The public can't be subjected to a situation where they are pumped with the message of buy e-tech, without giving the public an option to choose Because if you don't give that information, you are then forcing people to buy the internet. And we are sitting here as public representatives. We have to take into consideration the interest of the public to information, to transparency, so that they make choices that are informed. Because I have heard the advert over and over again about buy e-test, and also it comes across as a more of a threatening than making it sound.
Tell me the advantages.
Why it is important for me. Don't threaten me. But the adverts that are coming out are actually threatening the public about having an e-test. We don't know the price that is being, the fare that is paid if you don't have an e-test. But we are bombarded with the adverts that are saying, if you don't buy the e-test, it's like if you don't go to church and you don't worship, you will go to hell. As opposed to telling me what is good about going to church. Tell us the good things. Don't tell us, don't threaten us.
Related to the tariff, but the material has been prepared to roll out such a marketing exercise to inform the public about the different tariffs, to inform them about the benefits of having an e-tag. With respect to what is the negative side of having an e-tag, the only thing that might be perceived is there's a cost involved to obtain an e-tag. And that I think we also need to clarify that although there might be a cost to obtain the e-tag initially, it's a mechanism to distribute the e-tag. So if a person is going to a Pick and Pay or a ShopRite, it needs to buy something there. So it buys the e-tag for R49.95, it registers the e-tag, and as soon as it registers, you receive the money back in his account. So the e-tag is actually for free. It's just the distribution mechanism to get the e-tags out there, and then immediately as the registration is taking place, the money is put back into the user's account. So we will take this back to our marketing people, and we will look at information dissemination, because it's agreed that it cannot only be on the boards next to the road. We refer to them as road signs. They are official road signs and not billboards, and therefore they must comply to the required regulation. And then also, I can just add that at every exit point where you go off the network, there's also information provided where you can call the number you can call, the call center, as well as the...
just 1 second, please. There's a hand up. Remember?
So, Chairperson, thank you. Just a clarity. Are we not supposed to know the tariffs and the effects before we debate it? Is it not going to be late? Okay.
Yeah, no, that's a separate process from this bill. This bill doesn't affect the disease that's out for comment with respect to the toll tariffs. My last point was just that whenever anybody is leaving the network, it's stated the website address, it's stated the number that can be called. So if anybody feels uncertain, the information is there where people can follow up and make the arrangement. They are also spread on the network at about every 20 kilometers. There's a customer center. So people can, if it's right at interchanges or at your regional service facilities or your engines and so on, that's directly off the road, so the users can also go to the customer service center and resolve anything that they should resolve. So in summary, I think it's agreed that the family status be displayed. It is agreed that we must make use of often additional methods, and as I said, that material has already been prepared, but we wait for the final status before it can be distributed through the media. There must be a marketing campaign that must take place. The cost, or actually no cost associated with obtaining an e-tag, is part of the marketing campaign, as well as the benefits of having that e-tag. And then we provide as much information next to the road within the legal limits that we have, that we need to work through in terms of road signage information to the user.
Thanks, Chair. As much as I agree with some roaders, they can't put more information on one billboard, but I can still suggest that you put another board for that information, because it is not all of us who would go through into your website and get more information. Why can't you do it like the other toll gates are doing? but maybe 500 meters before the toll gate, you know exactly how much you are supposed to pay if you don't have this discount card. Then maybe 100 meters away, then you get another bus. I think that will be information enough for the public. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. It is extremely difficult to fit in all those signs. So there is a practical constraint. We can investigate if we can do that. We've got physical space limitations, especially where at interchanges with all the existing signs. I would suggest that we investigate the ability to do that, but as the trade-off that we rather that the signs that we have provide a higher tariff, because the people that actually registered with an e-tag will have that knowledge actually in hand, understanding the e-tag tariff because they went through the process, and that the higher tariff in the meantime be displayed to the people that doesn't have the e-tag.
Thank you.
I don't hear a firm commitment. I don't hear a firm commitment. Can I finish? I don't hear a firm commitment that goes in line with information dissemination and transparency and enabling the member of the public to know what is there, to make a choice whether you go to church or not. And all that we are asking SANRAL to do is give a member of the public a choice to make. Because what we have observed is that your marketing drive is about selling the e-tag. And what we are saying is, as much as you are promoting that, give the member of the public an option to choose. Don't bombard in the head of the person that if you don't buy this e-tag, you will rot in hell. Give the person a choice, because if the person who doesn't reside in this province, who doesn't always come to this province, therefore that person must weigh set to say, am I losing money by buying a tag when I only use this road once a year? Am I saving by using a tag? Give the public that choice. And the issue of billboards should not be an issue. It should not be an issue. You are talking to political parties who use billboards during election time. And we put billboards one after the other. It should not be a problem of space. The problem will be the amount of money that SANRAL would not want to pop up to put the message on another billboard. The space will not be an issue.
Chair, I've explained that there is a full marketing campaign to market everything. So I think that commitment is a real commitment. It's definitely there. So as soon as the tariffs are available, tariffs will be put in place. I'm providing the commitment that if the marketing material does not focus enough on not having e-tag, that part is also covered in the marketing material. So I'll take that up with our marketing people. And can I get back to the portfolio committee, because I really need to go from a technical perspective just to understand.
I think can tell us, and maybe this might help Sandral to consider what we are saying, that we need the information out there on the road so that everyone can see. You know, the company that owns the toll gate, the one that are in Mpumalanga track, owns the road. No one is allowed to put a board without their consent. So I think that is what somebody should do. The issue of space, no, that one I don't agree. We need a board today, which will tell me how much I'll be paying on my way to Gauteng when I enter Gauteng. Thank you.
And the space that we are talking about is the space that belongs to Sandra. So there should be no problem on that. The only problem would be the money that Sandra is prepared to fork out, putting that up. And we are saying even that money should not be a problem when we look at the amount of money that will be made. The only reason as we would be supporting this as ANC is that we want to see a situation where the collection, the administration of toll roads comes back to the state, not done by a private company. Because if it is done that way, it would then generate revenue for the state to be able to provide services. That is another debate. We are not debating that today. But that is why we are supporting this as a way of generating income in future.
Chairperson, that last statement of yours shocked me. If that is true, I think that's going to be a media shockwave to the country, that the ANC is not going to accept the collection fees going offshore. Anyway, that's none of my business. I'm not in the ANC, but if I was a reporter, I'd be videoing that and playing it on every station in the country. But anyway, that's not my issue.
Can I clarify?
Okay.
When we started, we explained our understanding of the build, operate and transfer and why it was put in place. Our understanding is that toll roads are built, operate and transfer. At some stage they come back to the state, and even the connection of that has to come back to the state.
All right, I'll accept that. It's still none of my business, but this is all information. I can't remember who's responsible for doing the minutes of this meeting. But a number of the things that have been agreed around this table are not in the legislation now. Now we're talking outside of the legislation and around the legislation. And the only way we can record that is in the minutes of this meeting. So can I just read things that I understand we've agreed, and if we can get a nod from the person doing the minutes that those things will go in the minutes, because then I will report this to my caucus tomorrow that this agreement was agreed. But if it's not in the minutes, then I have no proof that there was any such agreement. If I'm wrong, then I'm happy that we struck one off or another one off, but I just cannot. Would you accept that I just read that what I wrote down? So
that the process of this that you are engaged is that we will have an adjournment so that you prepare a report, even the minutes, and maybe for 30 minutes, I don't know how long, and then come back to vote and to agree on those that we have agreed upon. That's my understanding in terms of the process of this meeting, so that it goes forward. It is not only this general discussion, but there is a process in place that needs to be followed so that we have a quorum and agree on those issues that we agreed upon. Not unless the chairperson and the secretary can tell us what would come here. Are we done when we go out, not coming back? We're also sitting in the afternoon. Can I just get that clarity so that everybody is comfortable? Thank you.
We are allowed to, we've been granted permission to sit even today during the session. And that was granted to allow us to get a report. The process is that on top of the bill that we would be approving here, we still have to have a report. And the report captures the discussions that we have taken in place. They are not, it's not minutes, but it is a report of all that we discussed here and agreed on. So that is the process.
That's fine, Chairperson. I think that would be great. Would you just indicate when we will convene back to vote in the report or whatever is required?
The secretary will, the committee secretary indicates that she will need to set a minute to prepare that report so that we can then come back But in the meantime, we can approve the amendment. Do we have the chairperson? No, she needs the 30 minutes to be voted. To go to the state law, to be with the state law advisor so that we approve the amendment in a written form, and also we have a report of the portfolio committee. We will adjourn for 30 minutes.